Welcome to the RepChat Inside Stories series, conversations with creative talent and creative entrepreneurial businesses. We discover the inside stories that inspire and motivate creative people to do what they do. So I'm very pleased to invite into our virtual studio a very special person, and that is Jordan Cable. Jordan is a British house and bass mixed format DJ. And from a young age, he's had a passion for DJing, crafting his skill every night in his bedroom at home to his parents' despair. Over time, he's developed his skill to create a unique performance using four decks, generating new mixes live as he goes, making every set different. With his unique mixing and energetic mic work, Jordan looks to bringing new elements to his sets all the time. Throughout his career, he has played at many major clubs around the UK, alongside names any partygoer would recognise instantly. He's now looking to move to the next level and start his own tour around the UK. So welcome, Jordan.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. We've been wanting to do this for quite a while. And something else about Jordan is that he is a Zoom wizard as well. He was with us with the RepChat Plays. He was part of the team. And he's still with us, keeping the technical elements together. Very inventive and a safe pair of hands and a cool head. We actually knew that. I would like to know, and sort of the listeners would like to know, where it all began. So how did you become a DJ?
It wasn't me who wanted to be a DJ. In the beginning, actually, it was my younger brother, and he asked for some DJ decks, and he got these really basic ones, Newmark iDJ Live, I think they were. You literally plug it into an iPad or some strange software, not proper DJ software, I suppose, and you can start to mix. So he got them, played with them for a couple of months, and then they went on a shelf and they started to get dusty. I didn't really have an interest in them, but, you know, they were there. One night, I was doing what most teenagers do, probably, you know, 14 or so, 14. Yeah, going through my phone, and I stumbled upon an artist who plays music very different to myself. This artist was called Skrillex, and it was a show at the Red Rocks outdoor arena in America. And I watched it, and I kind of fell in love with the show, the lighting, the performance, as well as the music, because the music was, you know, it was different. I loved the music as well, but it was all about the performance. So then my kind of hearts got set onto a goal. Mm-hmm. And that's where I started to mix every night. I got these little decks down, and every single night I'd be there playing at the start, trying to replicate this DJ's tour, you know, every element of it. I think I spent a year crafting it. I crafted it into perfection, basically, until mm-hmm. I could play his whole set perfectly, picking up the skills and tricks that he did in the set. And my parents loved me for it, obviously, because there I was blasting music every single night. And when I say every single night, it's not an over-exaggeration. It was, if I was in the house, I was DJing. That is just what happened. It was part of my life. Before I could go into clubs, when I was in sixth form, I started doing the parties, sixth form parties, got all the mobile gear. I'm not going to say it was the most amazing setup in the world, because some of it was wired together and not sure whether it would pass any regulations anywhere. I went round to these parties and I started mixing in front of friends, you know, which was the first step of, you know, stepping out of the bedroom, you know, not being just a bedroom DJ, as they'd call you, going mobile. And then it must have been just as I turned 18, I've kind of started work in the real world, as I call it. And I dropped my bar job. So I used to be a mixologist, thinking, right, that's it now. It's on to being a real job. Kind of forgot the DJ. And the next thing I know, an agency that I sent an email to, you know, a few months before, got in touch and said, right, you fancy a gig? You can play this week. And then that's when the club started. And it kind of developed from there.
Well, I'm really hearing your passion as you tell us that story, and you really followed, and the determination and also the dedication to where you are today. And I'd really like to know, in your opinion, what is the role of a DJ, a good DJ?
The role of a good DJ. It's all about reading the crowd and creating an atmosphere and a feeling that's shared by everyone. there's a lot of DJs out there. They just play what they want. That's not what a good DJ is. A good DJ is there for the people, not themselves. They're there to put on a show. They play what the people are responding to. And they engage with the crowd as well. Good DJs engage with the crowd. They're known by them. They're not just a stranger that stood up in front of them.
Yeah, I really like said that it's not just, you know, in your own little bubble, just playing the songs that you like, but you're tuning into what that audience needs. And how do you do that, Jordan?
The way I tune into what people are into, you'll kind of watch me stop for a second. You do get into your little bubble. You get really energetic, and you know, I'm on the mic and, you know, chanting and getting them to, you know, scream and shout and, you know, and do all sorts of different things and mixing away. And then I'll just stop for a second and kind of take it all in and take a breather and just kind of look around the crowd. Are they dancing? Are they enjoying this? Are they interacting? You know, when I'm shouting, you know, everybody scream or whatever it is I shout on the microphone, are they doing it? So I stop and kind of take it all in for a second, the atmosphere and the vibe in the room, and then try and adapt to it. You know, are they dancing? Well, why aren't they dancing? What did they dance to, you know, earlier? You know, what did they respond to earlier?
Yeah. So it's that flow state. So it's really, as you say, reading the room and understanding the vibe and looking at all the nuances and go, okay, I'm going to adjust. Is there a kind of a recipe to make an incredible event?
I don't know. You see, a lot of DJs I know are really big into prep. We prep our set. We know every single track we're going to play. We've ordered it. We've made sure that it's in key and we're going to mix in key. And, you know, and they're really good things to be doing. But I've always been the one that's right. I've got a set of music. You know, there's this, you know, bass music, there's R&B, there's house, there's dance, disco, whatever it is that I've got set up. But I don't have a playlist. I just kind of go into it, because I think, again, it comes back to the vibe and the atmosphere. You can't prepare for the atmosphere of the night. You can't prepare for that crowd. You know, unless you're going to a very specific event, you know, you have no idea what they're going to be into and what's going to happen. So I'd say my recipe is forget the recipe and just go into the room, look at what's going on, and just perform. Don't think about it too much. Be in the zone, be part of the crowd.
So, Jordan, this might be a good moment to allow the listeners to hear one of your mixes. What's this piece called?
So this mix, the first one, we'll only play a little part of it at the start, but it was an entry I did for a competition for Kiss FM, and it's the first time I really demonstrated using four decks. So for me, that was a big thing. Once you go into four decks, it's the next level up.
So let's have a listen. Wow, that was amazing. Could I ask you, what is your best memory of being a DJ? You think of a magical
best
night.
Memory. Oh, there's a few. I think the best one, it has to be recent. And it comes back to that initial video I watched that got me into DJing because of the show. And with a lot of big venues and clubs, they have CO2. And I've always watched the CO2 go off when I've been in the crowd, and it's amazing. Big loud noise and that big puff of white, like smoke effect going down into the crowd. I always just imagined like standing there, you know, mixing, hands up, lights blaring, and the CO2 just blasting. Go, that's the noise it makes. It is, you know, really loud. And that happened recently. I was in a venue where it had the CO2 and the big bright light behind me. So it's glaring, just a silhouette of me, the CO2 shooting down, and all the lights on, and a crowd that's enjoying themselves. And at that moment, I felt like I'd achieved that goal of the full performance. It wasn't just mixing, it wasn't just being on the mic and all those things I love doing. But once all the lights, the effects, and everything came together, that's when I was like, yeah, this is what I love.
There's a kind of a transcendence to the whole thing mixed up.
Yeah.
And sometimes, as happens in events, and we've done live plays together, energy can dip, and it's not anything that you mean to happen, but it does. And I imagine you need to be very alive and alert to that. So what's your way of bringing the energy up again, if you do sense that?
But when the energy starts to dip, you've got to really take a step back, think about what's going on and why has the energy dipped. You know, get out of your bubble. You know, you could be having the best night, but it can still drop off, and the energy can drop. So you have to kind of get out of that zone that I'm doing really great and this is all wonderful and everything's going so well, and step back and go, okay, it's not actually going all that great. The room's not quite responding. The energy's a bit low. It doesn't feel right. And you just got to kind of take that deep breath and go, right, what do I know works, and how are people responding to me? Can I get them back chanting? You know, I'll have a go at doing that. Say something on the mic. Do they respond? Okay, now it was a bit weak. Let's go easy on the mic for a bit then. Let's try a different track. And then if nothing works, I just mix it back up. Completely turn it around. At a recent event, we had a really heavy bassy DJ on. And after he played, the vibe dropped. And you think, well, do you continue? You continue on with what he was doing, but that isn't what they're after. And I took a step back and we went right into R&B. So, you know, slowing it right down, completely different vibe, not heavy, bassy, bouncy, a slower vibe that's going on. And that brought it back. So it's like, you know, don't just stick to what's going on. You know, pick something else that works.
It's interesting you mentioned when the vibration of the music dropped, and we talked about before about the Travis Scott concert. You remember we had a conversation about that, where the music was extremely low and it had some terrible outcomes. So we know that music is really powerful because it carries a frequency. It carries, you know, it does carry unique energy, doesn't it? You know, I was just interested to see what your views were on listening to that.
Well, I think any festival and a big music event that has an outcome like that is obviously a terrible shame that can happen in this industry. I think the industry itself is quite volatile anyway. There's a lot of people that don't approve of, you know, the music industry and nightlife and festivals and concerts and so on. They think it causes trouble. And I don't think that's true. I think it's all very, you know, rare occurrences. But to see something like that obviously happen was devastating. Obviously, you know, for the music industry itself, you know, what does that say? What does that say about music? Certain styles of music, and you know, big festivals. You know,
like, and also atmospheres. You know, it's creating an atmosphere. It's creating a unique energy, and I guess there's just being, as you mentioned before, alive to what you're actually creating. So I think it's time now to listen to your second piece of music. So Jordan, can you tell us something about your second choice?
Okay, so the next track that we're going to go for is Le Freak. Purely because it's a bit disco-y, and I love a bit of disco, which if anyone hears me play live, I don't always play disco, but disco is a passion of mine. I love disco music. You know, what better track to play than Le Freak?
competition. Freak out. All that pressure got you down. Has your head spinning all around. Feel the rhythm, chant the rhyme. Come on along and have a real good time. Like the days of stomping up as a boy. Now we're free. Joy. Just come on down to the fifth floor. Find your spot out on the floor. Oh, freak out. Le freak, says she.
I share that one with you, Jordan. I love that piece of music. You can't help but move to that particular sound. I saw them live about 4 or 5 years ago. They're an amazing band.
Yeah.
Would you say that disco is your favourite genre?
I think it is becoming more my favourite genre. It's something that became a recent passion of mine, probably over lockdown. Now, it's not I didn't listen to it before. You know, I've always listened to music throughout the eras, but I wasn't DJing as much. I took the decision that I didn't particularly want to DJ to a brick wall. It didn't seem to do me any good because the crowd wasn't there, and I just couldn't get into it. So I had to kind of put the brakes on. So I started to reinvent and start listening to other stuff. And I've always liked disco, and I would put a disco playlist on. Yeah, I've got Apple Music, so they have great selections. You can go onto an album, you go, right, I'll listen to
You know that piece of that album by Jesse Ware, and it's all disco, and apparently it was okay. One of the most listened to piece of music over the lockdown period, because it was just so joyful and again transports people into a better place.
It is joyful, and I always say to people when they hear me listening to it, you know, why are you so much into the disco? I said, well, if you listen to the words of the disco music and you compare it to the words of some of the songs that are out nowadays, it's mainly just happy. It's happy stuff, you know. They're getting down to boogie, you know. They're freaking out, you know, whatever it is they're doing. But it's happy, it's positive energy. And I think, especially over lockdown and, you know, the way things are in the world, we need that positive energy. We don't need people singing about, I think actually I'll take that back. We do need people singing about troubles in the world. I think that is important. But I do feel there is this need for more positive music to be out there, you know, for people to lift people's spirits up. And music
I love
has
that.
The power to do that.
I love that. That is it. It's the lifting of the spirits. It's the joyful. It's the celebration. I think that is it, isn't it? That's another a lovely song as well, isn't it? Celebration.
Yes.
So what are you inspired about at the moment in the music world?
Oh, what inspires me? It's a hard one. I think the music world itself, you know, my inspiration is always, it's always going back to that first video. That is my inspiration. I think at the moment, because of where I am in the industry and the way things are going, a lot of it now is trying to inspire myself, if that makes sense, to realize that, you know, that these opportunities are opening up around me, which I never really expected. You know, I always wanted it to happen, but as these opportunities are appearing, you know, I need to grab hold of them. So I think, yeah, maybe inspire. I'm having to inspire myself. That is my inspiration. The opportunities are inspiring me. I think that's the better way to put it. The opportunities are inspiring me to push myself further in the industry now.
Well, that sounds like another exploration. I know you've recently got your pilot wings, haven't you? So this idea of exploring and inspiring yourself. And I have a question for you before we listen to your final piece, which is, if you could play any venue in the world, where would you play?
Well, it's always going to go right back to that starting point. And it would have to be Red Rocks. Just, okay, it's in America. It's not where the audience is that I play to. But if I could go there and even play there for 5 minutes, because that's where the passion was ignited.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it'd have to be.
So I think that's on the Arizona-Utah border, that
yes.
the actual Red Rocks. Yeah. Well, I hope you get there soon, Jordan. So for our final piece of music, what have you selected for us?
So it flows in quite nicely. I thought, save this one to the end. A track by Skrillex, a bit heavy, mm-hmm. but it's got to be listened to. We'll go for Bangarang.
Wow, that was a powerful piece. So, Jordan, thank you so much for sharing your passion and your inspiration and your journey to being a DJ. Sounds like there are some very exciting times ahead of you to go further into this field. For those listening, if they want to get hold of you, how can they do that?
Yeah, so I've got a website, jordancable.co.uk, and all my socials are JF Cable. So Instagram, Facebook, and whatever the other ones are that are out there.
Well, we'll put all of that in the show notes. Thank you for making the music. Thank you for bringing your passion. And it's amazing that we have DJs like you out in the world. Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Reb Chat Inside Stories series. We hope you enjoyed it. To feature your inside story, contact us at www.rebcatcreations.com or follow us on Instagram at rebcatcreations.